Welcome back, guys. DGS 205. As you know, we love fast food. We talk about it all the time. We especially love Hardee's. We always do Operation Food Search with them around the holidays. And I was saying to Rach just the other day, I'm like, let's get them in. You know, it's like, why do we only do this during the holidays? Let's get them in and talk about what's going on at Hardee's. So we have Megan and Tony in with this. Both of you are looking great. Tone, you look fantastic. You got rid of the cane. Good for you.
Oh, life is good, Dave. Thanks.
Yeah, that's great. Happy for you.
Thanks.
So before we get started on the new food and all that stuff, I'm so intrigued by the fast food wars, and it's too expensive. Now it's $5. Well, if it's $5 with you, now it's this. I don't feel like you guys, I feel like you're above the fray. Am I wrong?
We try to be. We have our value product, but we try to stay consistent with our quality product.
Yeah.
When it comes to our burgers or our chicken tenders or our biscuits, right?
Yeah.
So we try not to get into it too much, but we have a little bit of fun.
Yeah,
sometimes.
You really are. That's a good way to put it. Like, I'm not just trying to shill for you guys because I like you, because we all love your food, but you always seem a little bit, we're over here.
Right.
We're just going to be over here making stuff. You
right.
guys go crazy with whatever you're going to do.
Absolutely. And that's what we did with the blueberry biscuit that somebody just had here.
Oh, yeah.
We started about a week and a half
yet,
ago.
But it's right there.
Yeah,
it's
so
right there. I got to finish my chicken tenders first. Then I can have my dessert.
You're such a little boy.
I know.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, this is what we put up with all the time.
I mean, the rules are the rules.
You don't mix your food either, do you, Wheels?
Well, it depends.
Oh, you're okay. A linear eater, right?
What do you mean?
Like, I eat this, then I eat this, then I eat this.
Except at Thanksgiving, and then everything goes in a pile.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So, obviously, it's a blueberry biscuit, but beyond that, like, why is it such a good blueberry biscuit?
You know, we got it right. You know, everybody loves the cinnamon raisin biscuit, right?
Mm-hmm.
We hear it all the time. So, we for the summer, we thought we'd try to do something a little bit different. Don't worry, cinnamon raisin biscuit is going to be back, guys. Come the holidays, it's coming back. But yeah, come down, see us with the blueberry biscuit. They're selling just as well. It's a great product. Come in, get a 2-pack, 4-pack, 6-pack, whatever you want.
When do you guys start making these in the mornings?
So we start making our biscuits 4 a.m. Our openers come in 4 o'clock in the morning, and away they go.
Like old-fashioned.
Old-fashioned.
Old school.
Yeah, get out the biscuit mix, the flour, the buttermilk, and away we go.
I love it. It's really good. Rach, what's your?
10 out of 10.
Yeah, Rach, off the air before you guys even walked in, she goes, I'm really going to be thinking about that biscuit later.
They're so, I mean, I love Hardee's biscuits, and I'm a big blueberry fan, too. So those two things just married together. I mean, it's perfect. So good. And the icing. Ah.
And then the new chicken tenders. Tell us about that.
So we got our chicken tender platter now. So you come in and get a 3 or 5 piece with a fry, Texas toast, and then you got coleslaw on the side, and then order one of our strawberry lemonade strawberry lemonades to go with it, so it's a great deal.
Fresh, hand-breaded, the whole deal.
Just all
like,
way through.
Just like the biscuits.
Yes, sir.
Nice.
Yes, sir.
And you guys are doing something for the veterans right now, Stars for Heroes?
Yeah, so last week, Memorial Day, we started Stars for Heroes, kind of like Operation Food Search. Come in, donate a buck. It all goes to veterans, local veterans within the community. So just another great program to support our local communities.
Yeah. And you have an app now, or it's coming out soon?
So yeah, we do have an app. So, if you download our app in the next couple of days, we're teaming up with NBA right now. So if you download the app on Friday, you can come in and get a free 3-piece chicken tender. You don't have to purchase anything. Download the app. You come through. Hey, download the app. 3-piece. Come through. We do the barcode. Away you go. Happy.
Awesome. That's great.
So you have a couple opportunities in the next week and a half to do that. Come in and get free chicken tenders.
Who's like, these kind of things just interest me, like the backroom stuff. Like, who's the brain trust? Who is it that goes, blueberry biscuit? Is it Mr. Hardee? I mean, like.
It's Megan.
Is it Megan?
It's Megan.
Like, because Megan said that the hub used to be here in St. Louis.
Yeah, we were here for a long time. And then 2016, they moved down to Tennessee. And, you know, we still have Test Kitchen. We still have all the brains down there and everything.
Huh.
So, you know, one thing we did a couple years ago is we let our employees do like a test kitchen kind of thing.
Yeah.
Bring your ideas.
Huh.
And then we actually had a couple go down to Tennessee and pitch their idea. And we still have some of those in the game to come out and in the next year or so.
Talk to me a little bit, just like the last few years have been so crazy. Walk me through, like, say, post-COVID to now, just with the economy and inflation and the cost of goods and just the challenges of doing what you guys do.
So, yeah. So we're actually in a better spot now than we have been since COVID.
Good.
So from that standpoint, we don't want to jinx that. We have amazing people who come to work every day and serve our amazing customers. We're starting to see some product go down a little bit. You know, beef's going down a little bit, diesel price going down a little bit. So hopefully some of that savings will go back to the consumer at some point. But yeah, it's been, I've done this 20 years. Megan just hit 31 years, I believe. And when COVID happened, we did a lot of things we didn't have to do for 15 years, which we rolled up our sleeves and got in the mix and took care of our people.
Yeah.
So, and I think that might have been good for all of us to get back in the mix of that.
That's good.
So,
yeah, that's excellent. Will you take a bite of that biscuit for me?
You sure?
Yeah, positive.
All right.
I want to hear 12 out of 10 wheels.
I mean, it's going to be 74 out of 10 because how can it not be?
Now we're just watching the meat. Yeah, right?
Yeah, it's that's pretty good.
It's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, that's pretty fantastic.
I'm going to shut up and chew.
Well, we look forward to seeing you guys again this holiday season. Congratulations on everything. That's great.
Thanks so much.
The food's so fantastic. We love it so much. So the app, download that.
Download the app.
Friday, three-piece.
Free.
Free nugget. Don't have to buy anything else.
They're not nuggets. They're tenders. But
tenders.
Go ahead. Yeah,
yeah. Tenders. Yeah. Sorry. Apologies. And the blueberry biscuit available at all the locations until
all day long.
Out.
Just not breakfast. You get that blueberry biscuit right now.
Now?
You go home tonight and order a blueberry biscuit.
Rage.
All day
Look
long,
out.
Guys. All day long.
Oh, yeah.
Good to see you guys.
Thanks so much.
218 DGS and Game Wex. So, Rach, you for one are not surprised at all by X going X?
No, I mean, there's been plenty of pornography on Twitter in the past year or so that I have stumbled across. Where I'm not looking for it, it just kind of pops up whenever you're...
Oh.
What's that, Wheels?
The ad. I just had one.
Oh. We got
literally
a hit.
Just now. We were just talking.
I thought he was confronting Rachel.
No.
I was like, oh, yeah,
too.
You're not looking for
just,
it.
I thought because she said pop up, and he was like, oh, and I was like, well, that was an easy
no,
one.
No, no. That was an easy one. Nope, just as it was said.
It's been all over the place for a long time now. So now that Twitter is coming out and saying, all right, well, as long as it's, I think Elon posted something like, as long as it's two consenting adults. And it's posted with, you know, everybody knows what's going on. You can post it. And it's like, okay.
Well, he's put a lot of qualifiers on that.
So,
yeah.
So if you're 17 and you have a Twitter account, if you're 15 and you have a Twitter account, are you blocked from seeing such things or nah?
No, there would be like no logical.
So there's no.
There's no realistic way for them to do that.
Okay. So.
So, yes.
Good looking out for those kids.
That is exposing those children to that because there's no like realistic way to stop that from happening. You'd have to make a like bespoke Twitter experience for each individual user, and that is basically impossible.
So is anybody gonna line up outside of Twitter headquarters, being mad that they're gonna put pornography for kids, where kids can find it without having to verify their age? Or are we good?
I don't think this is the hot button topic. So
oh.
You know what I mean,
like. Funny.
I think it's okay. So X says you may share consensually produced and distributed adult nudity or sexual behavior provided it's properly labeled and not prominently displayed. So I guess that's the plan to protect kids is to properly label it and not prominently display it.
But labeling it will actually be the draw to the kids that are looking for it.
We believe that users should be able to create, distribute, and consume material related to sexual themes as long as it is consensually produced and distributed.
Okay. I mean, again, I'm not a person that's going to raise this as a big issue. I'm just saying I'm really interested to see how, people that just want to be mad about kids being exposed to damn near anything. Is this going to be okay? Is this going to be a problem? Is this going to be line up outside of Elon's office and call him a... whatever, groomer.
I get what you're saying. Is it different than Google having, Google is a website that has a search engine and you can find all sorts of different stuff on it. I mean, do we hold Google to the same standards?
So,
this is kind of my point.
I don't understand. If I'm on Twitter and I'm producing porn and it's consensual and I say, Wheels, I'm producing porn. And you're like, give me some. I can give it to you. Can I sell it? And if I can't, then why am I bothering?
I think there is probably a way to monetize it because Elon has really been pushing people towards like do videos on Twitter and then we can have like an ad share type of thing.
Sort of like YouTube or something.
Well,
right.
So the way that people, we've talked about this with the engagement farming, right? This is why people deal in outrage. This is just another version of that. So if you start putting out videos that get lots of views, you make money from Twitter by doing that. And Twitter makes money because then they can sell ads that are going to be attached to that. And you know what? They're probably going to take advertising money from the companies that are producing this stuff, right? So let's say website A wants to draw more traffic so it can sign up more people for subscriptions. They can now pay Twitter and have these things on there, videos on there that just pop up. And this is the problem, though. On Google, somebody has to actually go search it out. On Twitter, it just shows up in your feed.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It just shows up. Just like the political ads, just like everything. You don't have to seek it out.
Controlled.
So there's no way to stop that. I mean, like for kids, it's one thing, but even adults.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would say most adults, or I won't make a judgment call, but some adults do not want porn showing up on their feed.
Yeah. I'll just scroll past it. It's not going to make me mad. I'm not going to be upset about it. It's not going to hurt me.
But the way to avoid it is almost impossible. Because I think that's what you're asking.
Yeah.
Is there a setting where you can be like, I don't want to see any kind of pornography? No, there's not.
Yeah.
So the way to fix that is whenever you see one, you have to block it.
But you can't block ads.
But you can't block ads. So if they're targeted towards you, if they're projected at you, you can't block those. And these accounts that you see that are pushing pornography, well, there's a million of those a second being created.
Yeah.
And probably even more so now that he has made this this statement.
Everyone you block, 100. This happened with
not really possible to block them all.
Trying to remember which. Oh, and remember, Rachel, you were getting them, because I know my wife was getting the bra ads.
Oh yeah.
And it's just bras right there, and ladies in bras. And she would block it, and as soon as she blocked it, another one popped up. It was just a different account. So you can create endless number of accounts. So even if you can block one, they, as Andrew said, there's a million more of that same user, just with a different name, a slightly different Twitter handle.
Is there anything about X that's better than Twitter? Or has it just gone downhill overall?
Nothing.
Mm. I view it as having gone pretty seriously downhill. A lot of the things that were possible because they had like a bigger staff were done away with when he fired everybody. And then a lot of the things that are, a lot of people who were banned for doing wrong on that platform, he let back on. And that attracted, you know, when you bring like an Alex Jones, for example, when you bring an Alex Jones back onto Twitter and let him have his account back, that brings all the people that were like, I only went on Twitter to look at Alex Jones type stuff. But now that's all been done away with. Now they're all coming back and they're flooding the platform with their garbage.
So X is encouraging users who post adult content to adjust their media settings that will, quote, place all of your images and videos behind a content warning that needs to be acknowledged before your media can be viewed.
But you don't have to.
They're encouraging you to.
And that is not requiring you to. And therein lies the problem, is that they are putting that responsibility not on, they're not giving us that option. They're putting that in the hands of the pornographer.
And they're not taking it themselves.
If you can't trust a pornographer, who can you trust?
Right. And they're not taking control of it themselves. So again, my question is, where is the outrage going to be over this when it comes to the kids? I hate raising that, you know, the whole what about the kids? Because again, as a parent, I should monitor what my kid is doing on social media. That doesn't mean, though, that kids, especially teenagers, don't find ways around parental monitoring. How many generations have kids been hiding their alcohol use from their parents? You know, I mean, like kids and teenagers especially are very creative about it. But, you know, when it's a book, people are going to lose their minds. When it's Twitter, where's everybody losing their minds? Where's the outrage? Where are the people that are going to storm the building out in San Francisco and stand outside calling Elon names? Because what he's doing is going to reach way more people than any book.
Yeah.
Instantaneously on their phone.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't even have to be looking for it. Although if they are, obviously, as Rachel pointed out, the Google machine is probably already in use.
Speaking of bad customer service, Rach, you had some last night?
Well, there was a little bit of an issue. The point I'm trying to make is I don't want to be one of those people who's like griping loudly in the store, because I just don't think it's cute. I don't think you gain anything from it. Went to Target last night right as the storms were hitting, and I usually do Target drive up. They just bring it out to your car for free. It's very nice. Well, I pulled up and they're like, you have to do in-store pickup because due to current conditions, we're not bringing them out to cars. Okay, there's lightning and stuff. Fine. I don't think there's anything to really be worried about, but I can walk
in. We want you to walk and not us.
Well, but that's fine. I mean, I can walk inside and get my stuff. I'm not that lazy. So I get in there and I get to the line and everyone's complaining about like, oh, they're bringing some people's stuff out to their cars, but they won't bring it out to mine. My assumption there is that they had already opened the window to give those people their things and then they closed it by the time us, you know, the next round of people showed up. But they're just complaining and complaining. And these people kept looking at me like, right, right. And I'm just like, look, I'm a little annoyed right now, but I don't want to cause like
you're
a whole,
be part of the mob.
Yeah, we don't want to. I don't want to turn against Target. I got nothing against Target. This is not, if this is the worst part of my day, then I've had a pretty good day, you know. So
it's good mindset.
Yeah.
Rachel's scared to bite the hand that feeds. She's like, I don't know. I think Target's pretty great.
I love it here.
234 DGS on KMOX. Story with Caitlin Clark is the story that just will not die, and everyone has a take, and the takes are as diverse as the people having them. So just to kind of catch you up, Caitlin Clark from Iowa, number one draft pick, went to the worst team.
All-time leading scorer in
WNBA,
college basketball.
Because that's the way it goes. Yep. You know, like Detroit Lions would get it for years and years.
She's
and
on
years.
A bad team, yep.
And so she's being welcomed to the big leagues with some rough play, and one especially really tough hit that was... was after the fact when social media blew up about it, was raised to a flagrant foul.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have people taking lots of different positions and making it about race. And then Pat McAfee, who's a former punter, very popular podcaster. And I'm just going to go ahead and say the words because it's what he said that there's a white bitch involved, meaning Caitlin Clark. And people were like, yeah, no, don't say that.
Yeah.
And my understanding, because he gave an apology, my understanding was that he was saying it from the standpoint of the black women.
Of the other players.
And that he meant it complimentary.
His whole segment was defending Caitlin Clark.
Yes.
Like the whole thing that he went on
so
after
he
that.
Wasn't,
but
he wasn't casting an aspersion against her, but he was stepping into the shoes of a black woman and saying this is what she would be thinking.
That's kind of what he should be apologizing for as much as anything.
Don't
yeah.
try to step into the shoes of a black woman.
Or any other person, period. Just
right.
speak for yourself.
And then Costas.
So Bob Costas was on CNN and he was on it. He was on the panel with Carrie Champion.
Yeah, she's great. I want to get her for the show.
Absolutely great. And I was at ESPN for a long time, and they were talking about the topic. And Costas, look, it's not a shock that Bob has the rational viewpoint on this, right? Number one, that this happens in sports. He was the one that brought up the analogy that Ranji and I used yesterday, which is this happened to Michael Jordan. It happened to Michael Jordan. It happens to hotshot rookies, but it happens especially to rookies that come in with the label of savior. It happened to LeBron James because LeBron was on the cover of Sports Illustrated at 16 as the king, you know, the next Jordan, that kind of thing. It happened to Bryce Harper when he came into Major League Baseball. Now, every sport's a little different.
Sure.
You know?
The way you haze someone, the way you keep someone in check is different.
Using hockey as an example, the number one pick in the draft, Connor Bedard, played for the Blackhawks this year. He got the crap beat out of him. He had people hitting him all the time because they're testing the rookie. That's what veterans do. And I'm not saying it's right. The cheap shot the other day was a cheap shot. You know, that absolutely was. But if you go around and look a little bit, and I'll show it to you, Dave, while we're talking here, because you can see it pretty clearly. I mean, there are videos from college of Caitlin Clark cheap-shotting another player just with two forearms to the face and knocking her over. So it's not like Caitlin Clark is some innocent flower and all this. And that's the point to me. Stop worrying about her. She's a competitor. She's an athlete. She is, in her sport, what Jordan was as a rookie, what LeBron. She can handle it. Nothing that's happening to her is going to be something that she can't handle. She's not your 10-year-old daughter. And I think a lot of guys in the media are treating it like that. Like, oh, we have to protect the poor little girl. Well, no, look, flagrant fouls should be called flagrant fouls. People should be ejected
from
games.
They have a system for this.
But do you guys not know the name Dennis Rodman? Do people not remember what he did to Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen all those years when he was a Piston, knocking him into the uprights and blasting him into the stands and all? And again, none of it was good or okay. He got penalized for it. He got suspended for it. But nobody was screaming that, oh my God, they're trying to kill Michael Jordan. You know, the reaction has been over the top. And Bob Costas made another interesting point on the CNN interview, which was there was a really flagrant foul committed last week against Angel Reese. Now, Angel is also a rookie. She's one of those very talented rookies that just came in. She was the one at LSU that was taunting Caitlin Clark in the championship game, not last year, but the year before, right? And last week, a veteran player grabbed her by the throat and threw her to the ground. Did you hear a word about it? Did anybody say a thing about it? And if not, why not? Why not? Why do you guys think not?
Race.
That was the point Bob made. Bob made, like, look, it was a black player doing it to a black player, and nobody reacted to it. Some of it is also that Angel Reese is not popular like Caitlin Clark. She's a little bit more of a villain in that comparison, right? Because she was the one that started all the nonsense with Caitlin Clark in the championship game. So she has a little bit more of a villain perception. But again, it was the same idea. It was a cheap shot. It was a flagrant foul. So, but nobody said a word about that. But now everybody's going to go crazy when it happens to Caitlin Clark.
Let's bottom line a couple things. It seems to me that this is great for the WNBA.
Absolutely.
Great for the WNBA.
They are getting so much attention that they normally wouldn't get and so many more eyeballs. And the hope that they have is that a lot of people will see the product and stay.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you don't know. They know a percentage won't stay. They know that some people are just checking out the curiosity. But others might, and that's their hope, right? And they're not generating this. But, look, this kind of thing does not hurt because the WNBA is getting coverage that it has never gotten before. So in that sense, it's a good thing. But then it's also, like, remember yesterday when I was like, it feels like most of the outrages from people that either don't watch sports or don't watch the WNBA. And, like, so the editorial board of the Chicago Tribune posted yesterday that in the outside world, this would be called assault. So would everything in sports. If I picked up a rock and threw it as hard as I could at a person 60 feet away from me, that would be an attempted assault. It's a baseball pitch. If you hit somebody like on the football field, if you tackle them, that would be assault. It's the most idiotic thing in the world, and this is the problem. Idiots who aren't thinking logically are making this worse.
Is it a bottom line good thing or bad thing for McAfee?
Oh, nothing affects him. It's a not thing. He is untouchable right now. He is to ESPN what Joe Rogan is to podcasts. I mean, McAfee is on top. So nothing, this won't do anything. And look, I'll give him one thing. When he screws up, he knows to apologize. He knows to say, I did wrong, instead of qualifying and all that. But that doesn't make it okay.
Do you believe him?
What? Kind of. He's, I mean, so I don't think he's a bad guy, but I think he just likes to play that game. He likes to play the shot game where he's trying to get attention for everything. And then when he gets the wrong attention, he's like, all right, sorry, I crossed the line, my bad. But he's going to cross the line again. That's his brand.
Will this lessen the flagrant fouls against Caitlin Clark, increase them, or make no difference?
I don't think it'll matter. The only thing that'll matter is if the WNBA decides that they're not going to, but that they're going to come down harder. But can you really do that for one player? I mean, I think you just have to have calls called, right? Because one of the things that actual WNBA fans have been upset about is there are highlight reels out there of Caitlin Clark driving to the basket and in a legitimate basketball play getting slammed to the ground and no foul is called. It's got to be a foul. You have to enforce your rules. And if the WNBA just gets their officials together and says, listen, guys, enforce the rules, there won't be a problem.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, time to talk to our pal, well, pal, best friend, Rick Horton. Good to talk to you. So, Rick, I don't know if you're listening there. We're talking about the Caitlin Clark kerfuffle and controversies and all this stuff.
Yeah.
I know you played some basketball before you went pro in baseball. What are your thoughts on this whole thing?
Well, you know, basketball, you know, I always remembered the thing that Wes Unseld used to say, who was an NBA player at the time, and I remember him saying that he had a choice between playing pro football and playing pro basketball, and he wanted to play the one that was tougher to play, so he chose basketball. I mean, I feel like, you know, that was kind of a saying. And, you know, honestly, you know, I guess I'm not, I love the game of basketball. I also know that there's an intimidation to it. There's a toughness to it. There's a learning curve with all of that. And, you know, I can't really say which way is right and which way is wrong. I do know this, that I watched several college games where Caitlin Clark played because she was playing, and I wanted to watch her. And my daughter played high school basketball at Marquette, and you know they had a very good team there. I loved coaching her for a while, and you know I did know this when I coached her travel team, I would be in charge of coaching the girls that didn't like to mix it up, and the other guy who played college basketball would coach the ones who did. So we recognized that you kind of had to separate it with young girls, because you know it's a different thing, and it can be a very tough sport, kind of like soccer too.
Do you have that in pro ball, Rick? Like when you came up, were you hazed at all, or do you throw inside a little chin music to welcome them to the show?
I was hazed, definitely hazed, and I think hazing is, you know, that's a bad word now. We all get that, and right. I agree with that. But I think that there were some indoctrinations. I'm not sure if that's a good word either. But the point is, there were things that were done that were done. Here's the deal: if it's done with a purpose, to me, I get it. If it's done, you know, it's kind of like parenting. Sometimes there's tough love, and sometimes there's tough love in a sport that's very hard to do at an elite level. And when you test somebody, sometimes that testing is for their benefit. But you know, it has to be clear about that. So I had teammates certainly test me, and opponents test me, but I never felt like there was any malicious nature in that. And you know, I don't know, you know, how you judge the difference, but I never felt like it was a bad thing.
So we dropped the first win to Houston last night. Just looking at the game last night, anything systemic troubling you, or is it just like you win some, you lose some?
You win some, you lose some is what I think. They had the right guys in place for the last few innings and maybe overworked a little bit. I mean, I think there's a reason Ryan Fernandez didn't pitch in that game. He might have otherwise. And so I think that was kind of a key to why that didn't work. And Houston's, you know, they've got some firepower in there, especially in their own ballpark. And JoJo just had a bad game. I mean, JoJo's had, you know, 20 great games, and he's had one bad one and or two bad ones. And so that's going to happen. So I don't think that. Certainly, JoJo's systemic, and you know Kyle Gibson pitched well. So you know, I don't. One thing I don't like, I will say this: I don't like the number of errors that are piling up. I feel like that is creating. The Cardinals are on a razor thin margin to win games right now, like most of the National League, other than three or four teams. And when you kind of make errors, that just makes it harder.
You know, talk a bit about the multiple layers of that too, Rick, because an error might lead directly to a run. It might not, but what it definitely does is it leads to more work for whoever's on the mound. And that may be an extra 10 pitches that inning. It may be two. It might be 12. It might bring a guy to the plate that wouldn't have gotten to the plate. You know, there's a lot of things that can change by plays that are supposed to be made not getting made.
No question. And I point to one of the games that Lance Lynn had where there were two out errors in the same inning. And so the point that you make is, or a double play that's not turned, you're getting two innings worth of outs in one inning.
Right.
And so that's not only the extra pitches, it's the extra angst. It's the and we, as we always say, and you guys know, there's a pitch under pressure and then there's a pitch. The pitch under pressure should count for two because they're it's different. I mean you have a different mentality when you realize you got the bases loaded and you gotta throw a pitch to somebody who's trying to hit the ball 400 feet. It's just there's more angst in that. So yes, there's other things that happen. I think sometimes the proverbial momentum shifter for a team that all of a sudden sees things starting to spiral the wrong direction. It's hard to quantify that, but it happens.
Not our guy, but boy, you have to be impressed with 41-year-old Verlander.
Oh yeah, I mean, 41 years old and pitching. You know, that's what I would love to have been able to do that. I mean, I couldn't do it at 31. I mean, at 31, I was out of bullets and my arm hurt and I was looking updating my resume and so for him to be able to do that is just phenomenal. It's a rare kind of thing, and you know, it makes me think here in Houston of a guy like Nolan Ryan who did that as well. And they're just rare guys that can do it. And you know, he's still throwing 95 miles an hour at the top of the zone last night. So, you know, the Cardinals have got enough runs off of him to win a game, but you can't help but to admire a guy like that.
And, you know, Wheels was kind of educating me about this. Verlander seems to be the master of the 85% rule, you know, just like you don't got to go 100 all the time.
Well, and exactly. And I think that's part of the reason why at 41 he's still pitching is, and he's always kind of said that he's the 85% guy. And when he needs 100, so he throws 93, 94 miles an hour. But if he's in the seventh inning and there's a guy at 0-2 count and he'll throw 97. I mean, he'll come up with something extra occasionally, but you can't live there. And I do think we're in an era of pitching where most pitchers try to live there. And you're not going to pitch to your 41 if you do that. You might not pitch to your 31.
Yeah.
You know, max effort, not just on fastballs, but on spins that you create. cause more torque on your arm, cause more potential injury.
Rick, are you surprised that there aren't more teams that are trying to emulate the things that Max Scherzer does, that Justin Verlander does? It's interesting because you always think you want to imitate the best. And right. There's nobody that qualifies as the best that ever was all out all the time, except for relievers. There are relievers that have maximized that. And you look at Verlander when he was young. I watched him a lot when he's young. I grew up a Tigers fan. So, I mean, I've always watched him from the day he broke into the big leagues. And he used to be that guy. He would be throwing 100 in the seventh inning. And heck, on his no-hitter, his last pitch was 100. And then he realized this, and all of a sudden he went from really good and talented to the best pitcher in baseball for about a decade. And I'm just surprised that there isn't more understanding of that, or at least willingness to do it, because we know it works. Yeah. Bob Gibson did it.
Yeah. There's too many voices in the other direction right now that have to be kind of put into context. I mean, I think every time somebody throws a pitch, we look up on the scoreboard to see what the miles per hour is, and that's an underlying pressure on the pitcher, on the organization to say, wait a minute, the guy just threw 192. What's wrong with him? Mm. It's a wrong question. The question should be, Lance Lynn and I talked pitching for an hour on the plane coming here to Houston, and he talks about how he changes speeds and just kind of does that on purpose. And he said, I didn't do that 10 years ago, but I've learned that you just have to do that. And so he figures out a way to do that. And so I guess there's only a small set of people that are throwing 97 miles an hour and know how to pitch at 93, and maybe that's the problem. Yeah. There's not enough of them, and not everybody can do it.
There you go. All right, buddy. Have a great call. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Don't ever let